KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies, light snow, and 12 degrees above zero, with a wind chill of 8 degrees below zero, as winds gust out of the northwest at around 20 to 25 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Our forecast for today, mostly cloudy skies. Flurries this morning, partly cloudy this afternoon, with temperatures rebounding to around 24 degrees. In the news, authorities say officers have captured an inmate who assaulted a jailer before fleeing custody in northwest Iowa. The Emmett County Sheriff's Office said the 19-year-old attacked the jailer at around 7:20 p.m. Friday and then fled out a door the jailer had just opened at the jail in Estherville. The inmate was apprehended 45 minutes later by an Estherville police officer in a canine unit. The inmate was identified as Divine Watkins. He's been charged with escape and assaulting the jailer. He'd been jailed while awaiting prosecution on burglary and other charges. Some Omaha-area school districts are installing bleeding control kits inside schools to give staff and students quick access to resources in the case of an emergency, including a shooting. The Pottawatomie County Emergency Management Agency has led the effort to get the kits into the school districts, including the Omaha Public Schools in Nebraska and Council Bluffs Community Schools in Iowa. Southwest Iowa Preparedness Partners provided the funding. The kits cost about $56 a piece and contain an instruction card, gauze, rubber gloves, scissors, and a tourniquet that can be used to stop bleeding. The supplies could be used to address a range of injuries, from accidents in the shop class or emergencies such as a school shooting. Emergency responders typically respond quickly, but having supplies on hand can make a difference in cases with intense bleeding, according to Tim Hamilton, Executive Director of Student and Family Services at the Council Bluffs School District. The idea, he said, is to, if we can stop bleeding, we're going to save a life. The Council Bluffs District has trained its health staff, teachers, support staff, and some students on how to use the kits. Sarpy County Sheriff Lieutenant Jacob Bettsworth has been collaborating with CHI Health and Gretna Community Foundation to install the kits at the Gretna Public Schools. Bettsworth said training people on how to stop bleeding is similar to training people in CPR, and that at some point in our history, CPR wasn't a thing, and now almost everybody at some point has been exposed to it. He said we're kind of going down that path here. Well, a state senator from southeast Iowa wants to adjust the financing for students who attend school outside the district in which they live. Radio Iowa's O.K. Henderson reports.
It is called open enrollment. For 30 years, Iowa parents have been able to enroll their kids in public school districts outside of the one in which they live. Senator Tom Green, a Republican for Burlington, says it's a real financial issue for districts that are losing students.
I think open enrollment is here to stay. It's not going to change. And I understand that, but what I want to do is change the funding mechanism.
Green is proposing that the home district where the student lives keep 12% of the per pupil spending for each student who open enrolls into another district. Green says that means all the state and federal tax dollars would follow a student to that other district, but local property taxes would stay put. I'm O.K. Henderson.
Before his election to the state Senate, Green was a member of the Burlington School Board and served as its president. Well, U.S. Senator Joni Ernst, a Republican from Iowa, announced that she will hold a town hall meeting February 9th in Audubon County as part of her 99-county tour for this year. Senator Ernst says she looks forward to hearing from constituents in the area about the issues most important to them. The town hall meeting is, of course, open to the public. It takes place at 9 a.m. on February 9th in the Audubon Middle School High School auditorium. Sunday, February 10th, is the date of the annual chili contest sponsored by the Marnie Community Club. At the same time, the annual men's pie baking contest will be held. Judging for both contests will be people's choice. Anyone interested in entering the chili contest should bring a gallon crockpot of chili to the Marnie Community Center by 6 p.m. on the day of the contest. The same goes for entering the men's pie contest. There are no fees for entering. Trophies for both chili and pie winners are on display at the Marnie Community Center, and the first place winners' names will be added to their respective trophy. Everyone is welcome to join in the fun, either as a participant or a judge. You can come to Marnie and share a meal. The main course will, of course, be chili. Please bring your potluck salad to share. Pie for dessert. Beverages will be provided. Elsewhere in the news, Iowans are used to wild weather extremes in the wintertime, but going from balmy highs in the 60s to wind chills of minus 60 in the course of several days is radical, even for the Hawkeye State. State climatologist Justin Glisson says the month of January started out quite warm and stayed that way almost through the end.
Up until the 27th of January, the state was above average temperature-wise. And then we got that polar plunge the last few days that really, tipped the averages.
It was almost like somebody had roused a dozing Mother Nature from her slumber last Sunday and reminded her it's supposed to be winter in Iowa, and then she overreacted a bit.
You look at the first week of January, we were actually way above average, between, you know, 15 to 25 degrees above average. Some parts of the state had temperatures in the 50s and 60s. So you flip that, last week of the month, we're getting temperatures down into negative 30, negative 40.
Overall, the statewide average temperature for January was 18.5 degrees, about 1 degree below normal. Gleason says it appears February will remain colder than normal.
We're looking to trend below average for the month. You know, we're getting into the later part of wintertime, so we're warming up. But as of now, the outlooks have below average temperatures. Precipitation-wise, it looks like we're a tad bit above average for rainfall, snowfall across the state.
And precipitation for January statewide averaged 1.32 inches, which is 0.4 of an inch above normal. He notes January is typically the driest month of the year. The February yo-yo continues, with the high yesterday of 53 degrees here in Atlantic to the current temperature of 12 degrees. Well, the recent extreme cold weather will kill some but not all of the insects in the area. The Quad City Times reports residents there still have to deal with the Japanese beetles and emerald ash borers next summer. Iowa State University entomologist Donald Lewis says the cold temperatures always kill some insects, but enough survive to repopulate the area in the next breeding cycle. Lewis said the Japanese beetles, known for their voracious appetites, already have grubs about 4 to 6 inches underground, so those won't be affected by the cold air temperatures. Lee Freilich with the University of Minnesota has done research to show that the emerald ash borers are unlikely to die off in extreme cold, but their numbers might be reduced. Well, nominations are now being taken for this year's Iowa Character Awards. They honor individuals, businesses, organizations, and schools for their roles in making Iowa a better place to live. Amy Schmidt is a spokeswoman for the Robert D. and Billy Ray Center at Drake University in Des Moines, which organizes the annual awards.
We think that there are Iowans throughout the state who deserve to be recognized for their good character. It might be a friend or a family member or a coworker, but I think that everybody knows someone who can be nominated.
Schmidt says it's easy to nominate someone for the recognition.
Head to our website at iowacharacterawards.org, and there's an online nomination form where we just want to get to know your nominee a little bit better. We try to keep it quick and easy for the nominator, and then we'll have a volunteer selection committee review those this summer.
And the award program was founded in 2005 and has since honored more than 100 individuals for showing good character. There are various categories in which you can nominate someone as well.
If you know an organization who you think really embodies the six pillars of character, you can nominate an organization, a sports team, individuals.
The six pillars of character are trustworthiness, respect, responsibility, fairness, caring, and good citizenship. The entry deadline is May 1st. Well, the Iowa State Patrol reports a total of 5 people were injured and 3 others were killed when 2 vehicles ran into an overturned semi in southeast Iowa's Henry County early Sunday morning. The chain reaction crash happened at Highway 34 just before 3:30 a.m. Authorities say a 1995 Freightliner tractor trailer driven by 68-year-old Wayne Sallow of Sioux City was traveling east on Highway 34 near mile marker 230 when the semi went out of control, entered the left shoulder and jackknife, coming to rest on the driver's side and blocking both lanes of eastbound travel. Soon after the semi crashed, an eastbound 2010 Mazda M3 driven by 31-year-old Ghislaine Landa of Cedar Rapids and a 2011 Chrysler Town & Country van driven by 74-year-old Vicki Morrow of Ottumwa both crashed into the overturned semi. Morrow and her passengers, 44-year-old Daniel Yutzi along with 44-year-old Catherine Yutzi, both of Bloomfield, died in the crash. Only Morrow was wearing her seatbelt. 48-year-old Suzanne Mast and 48-year-old Henry Mast, both of Bloomfield, were injured, along with the drivers of the semi and Mazda, and were transported to the hospital. Another passenger in one of the vehicles, 27-year-old Shelda Forrestall of Ottumwa, was also injured. Sallow, Forrestall, Landa, and Henry Mast were all transported to the Henry County Medical Center. Suzanne Mast, who was not wearing a seatbelt, was taken to the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics. The accident remains under investigation. And authorities say a man was injured in a fire that heavily damaged a house in Ottumwa. Firefighters reported finding the man just outside the house's front door when they arrived Sunday afternoon. He was taken to an Ottumwa hospital before being transferred to the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics in Iowa City. His name has not yet been released. The cause of the fire is under investigation. The house was considered a total loss. That is a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.